Well, haven't we had some great messages the last three times we've had preaching here? Just really, seriously, excellent messages. And all three of them, I would say, let's go back and listen to them. Go back and listen. I'm going right back to when Pete spoke, because then there was River Together, then Simon. I hope I'm getting this right. If I missed one out, and then it was Graham last week. And I've enjoyed, they're just awesome. Peter's sermon was brilliant. And if go back and listen to that. Again, I've listened to it, and I wanted to catch the last 15 minutes of what he said, because his application of it was just so good. So, you know, listen to Pete's message. Listen to Simon's sermon on the glory and a better sacrifice, a better salvation. Jesus is better than. What an amazing message that was. You know, if we want to just focus on that, go listen to that again. And then Graham's last week. I mean, we knew Graham's was going to be good because we know Graham from of old. And, you know, Seb said, hey, let's get Graham to preach. It's very unlikely he's going to say no. And he's always got good things to say. And he was so, wasn't he amazing? So different to anyone we've had. Microphone stood there, didn't budge. I don't think his feet moved once. But man, what came out his mouth was powerful stuff. I mean, that lovely story of, but just imagine what could have been. And I'm sitting up the front here, I'm sort of going, I wrote this in the thing, and I'm sort of going, you know, sort of wiping tears from my eyes, sort of, you know, sort of not wanting to be seen. And I was very encouraged to find my wife said to me, oh, no, there were others who were crying. And I thought, oh, I felt better about that. But what great, 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 great messages. And Pete reminded us again of the prophetic, those prophetic promises that God has given us during our 40-day prayer and fasting. Now, I think that, and in fact, we could go back to probably October last year, where God began to say, now's the time, now's the time, now's the time, as Pete reminded us in those messages. Just recap that again. You know, for a while, it was though the fig tree doesn't, right, like there's no whatever that, and wherever, who said, I can't remember, one of the smaller prophets, he said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. You know, while it's barren, while nothing's happening, still going to praise the Lord. And then things shifted last October. We began to hear from different people words going, there's new buds coming, there's new buds coming. And during our 40-day fast, over and over again, in small ways and big ways, there was those words that we were getting. And I think there was Isaiah 43, that one about, don't forget what's in the past. Look, you know, I'm making a way through the desert. I'm doing a new thing in your midst. You know, there's the desert will turn into bloom and all those kind of things. And then there was and Dorothy was absolutely amazed. She got that word out, I'm taking you into a land of abundance and growth, and you that the harvest will go da 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 da. All these things. And so there's been this message, and of course that song that we sang, hear the word roaring as thunder with a new future to tell, for the dry season is over. There's a cloud beginning to swell. And I personally think we need to take, in the light of these passages, in the light of the sermons that we've had, we take those scriptures. I've got them down. I haven't, where have I put them? I've got them on my phone. It's on my phone. I've got them put on my phone under notes. And so I've got these messages, these promises. And so I'm trying now to take one of them and pray them in my prayer time. See, the temptation is when we get these promises, oh, that was great. And then we just sort of walk on and the Lord saying, no, this is what he's saying now. This is his current word to us right now. Don't ignore them. Grab them, take them to your heart and pray them back to the Lord. It's because God wants us to be doing something as a result of this. So I'm going to go back over familiar passages that have often mentioned, and you're going and pick up the theme and similar to what Graham said, similar to what, but in a different way, looking at a different focus. Now you all know this, don't you? Yeah, there's a few nods. How many of you can quote the verse? For he has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness, transferred us to kingdom of his beloved son. We've been delivered out of the kingdom or the power or the dominion of darkness. What's the nature of darkness? But when Sabina and I were in the church army, we'd often travel in New Zealand and, you know, get to a plane, sometimes get there at night, and so we have to ring it, or we get the following instructions. I go down here, 1, 2, 3, turn left, and get to that street there, and we finally, you know, hope we're in the right place. We don't, you know, we don't have a clue, we don't know the place. When we get there at night, it's kind of a bit of a, oh, we've got the instructions right, and you get there and knock on the door, is this, yeah, yeah, and breathe a sigh of relief. The interesting thing is I wake up the next day in the daylight and I look and I thought, nothing looks familiar. Absolutely nothing looks familiar. I thought, I've just driven through this place. I can't recognize anything at all. Why? Because in the dark, when you're arriving in the dark, you can't see what really is there. You know, there's shadow, there's lights on the street lights and there's light around to mark you, and you've got the car lights. But beyond the very edge of the little bit of light you've got, you can see nothing. And you kind of think, oh, yeah, that must be that, that must be that. And you say, oh, I don't know. But it's totally different. And so, of course, and the funny thing is I find I'm at a place and I've got to head back to where I'm staying and I don't have a clue where I am. I have to read the same instructions in the daytime, for goodness sake, and go and read those instructions to get me back. Here's another thing I noticed. When we arrived, when we came to a place and we arrived in the daytime, and followed those instructions and go in there. When I went to go to the place during the night time, it was no hassle. It was always like, oh, yeah, we go down there, turn there. It's funny, when you've seen it in the light, even when it's dark, you know what's going on. You know what it is. So the nature of darkness is to deceive, to keep things hidden, so that we don't know what's there. Makes sense? It's the place of lies. It's the place of deception. You know, Jesus talked about, in John 3, I'm probably racing ahead in my message here, but never mind. In John 3:16, we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His. We all know that, or at least we all ought to know it. It ought to be imprinted on our spirits, you know, like a branding iron. John 3:16. But about verse 17 or 18, He says that. But men love the darkness because of their sin. And they retreat into the darkness. They love darkness. Why? Because they're doing things that they don't want to be found out about. You know, the theme of the darkness. The more darkness begins to reign, you more you know that. Anyway, no, I won't go into that track. In the darkness. So we have been delivered out of that place of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son. What's the kingdom of the beloved Son? Who's the Son? Well, let's read a scripture. This is a really good scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. You all know this. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through. In Him was the life, and the life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Number 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus in chapter 6, I hope it's chapter 6, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to him saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we're transferred out of darkness into blinding light. And we can cope with it because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Again, not saying, you know, it's, we often, well, we'll get to that in a minute. We sometimes drag a bit of the darkness with a bit in mind. But we are part of this place where it is light. This is light. This is light. So you can guess what scriptures I'm going to jump into next. I should have told you this at the beginning. If you've got your Bibles or you've got your iPads or your phones, so I should have mentioned this to you. This will be a passage you all, Matthew 5, 14 and 16. They might be able to get it up on the board. Sorry, I should have mentioned that to you earlier, that I was going to go to this passage. Matthew 5:14. This is in the Great Sermon on the Mount where the Lord has gone through blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, all the blesseds. And then He comes on to this particular verse, these verses before He goes on to, you know, if you've heard it said, then you should. But you heard it said, then this is what. But I say to you, this is right before that bit. Matthew 5, 14 and 16. Oh, it's up there. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. You are the light of the world. You are. You are. You are. Look, I point to all of you. All of you, point at you. All of you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. That's dumb. I'm not the light. Jesus is. Jesus said either. No, no. He says, no, you are. Why? Because the light bulb's in us. The light bulb's in us. You and I are the light of the world. And what does the light do? It dispels darkness. It dispels darkness. Now, of course, we all know that passage that I often quote, Isaiah 60, 1 to 3. You see, all the familiar passages are coming out. And what does that first line say? Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. You and I are the light of the world. Jesus has made us the light of the world. Why? Because he lives in us. He lives in us. So what he wants us to do, because we are the light of the world, we have been delivered out of there, transferred in here, he wants us to then go, walk into that place and shine. Just step in and shine. Now the thing about it, just remember, it's not geographic. You know, we can be on a bus, or we can be walking right next to us, can be someone who's steeped in darkness. That's what it's like. That's what the world is. I mean, to go into that place and shine. And just shine. And that's what he's calling us to do. Arise and shine. Why? Because God has spoken prophetically over us. As we take those words to our heart and say, God, you're doing something, doing something. What do you want me to do? Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Get in there and shine. Go out there and do your stuff. Arise and shine. For your light has come. Though darkness covers the earth, thick darkness the peoples. The Lord has risen upon you, and his rising will be seen upon you, and kings and nations will come to the brightness of your dawning. We were made for darkness. We were made for darkness. That's why we're still here. The Lord hasn't taken us up to heaven, hasn't got us saved. He's left us here because he wants people to shine in the darkness that we left behind. Make sense? That's what he wants us to do, to shine. That's why we're still here, to shine in that darkness. Because light dispels darkness. Unless they, you know, like we put curtains up and everything, you know, at night we put curtains up to block the light coming in. But light dispels darkness. It reveals what's there. Darkness hides what's truly there. You know, when the power goes out in your house, you know, what's the first thing you do? Go and get the candles out. Because you want to be able to see, because you can't see what's there. You can, if you know your house, but if someone's left something on the floor, moved the table, and you kick it or walk into it, you need light, and light dispels the darkness. Let your light so shine. Oh, who remembers that song, This Little Light of Mine? Do you remember the song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, come on, you will know it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Ooh, ooh, ooh. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Come on, put your finger up. Come on, get with the program. Let it shine. Oh, I won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. This is a good verse. I won't let Satan. I know I won't. I won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. One more verse. Who remember it? Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Woo! Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, that's right, there is a let it. Yeah, I forgot that verse. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. All right, let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Great song, but I have a beef with one part of it. There's one bit I don't like. It's this line, this little light of mine. I don't like that line. I do not like it. I'll tell you why. What is the light that we shine? How bright is the light? Very bright. See, our problem is, this is our problem. God calls us to go out and let the light shine. We'll talk about that in a bit. And we go out and it's by our works, by our deeds. As you listen to Pete talk, he talks about just going out, loving, doing the things that God calls us to do. And we often think, oh, I've got nothing to give. Oh, I've got nothing to do, as Sabina said this morning. I don't know what I can do. Oh, it's so useless. Oh, well, there's Pete that does this. And then of course, there's Jill who goes out and prophesies to everyone. And Dorothy just has these automatic, she's just in a situation, she shares the Lord. I can't do that. What can I? Oh, I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. See, is this familiar to anyone? There's a few heads nodding. You know, we get this, don't we? Oh, I've only got a little light. I can't do much. Got a little light. I can't do much. This is our mistake. It's not the size of our deed. It's the size of the light that counts. The size of our deed is irrelevant to the light that's in us. That's the mistake. As Sabina said before, I know what I carry. We carry the light of the universe in us. Shoot. You know, people hope spiritually should be looking at us and think, oh my gosh, I need, oh man, that's bright. You know, it's the kind of thing that if you're in the workplace and you're not doing anything different, you're just doing your job like you're normally doing, people say, well, there's something about you, I can't figure it out. Has anyone had that? Some of you have had that. And you think, and I say, are you a Christian? I say, yes. See, that there's something that people can see. It's not you doing anything. You're just doing your job. But there's a light shining through us, and it's a big light. It's not this little light. It's a thumping great light. It doesn't fit the song, does it? This thumping great light of mine. Are you with me? That's what it is. It's not the size of our deed. So don't be discouraged by the fact that you're not having wonderful things happening. I was going to share, I'll just share a little bit of it, something that happened on the, when I had to go up to Nottingham, I was sitting on the bus. I don't know if you've travelled by bus. The buses are worse than train seats. They're so small. And you know, anyway, this big African boy, he's not tall. He's probably known a few inch or two bigger, but he's big, you know, big biceps and shoulders. And I think, oh, he's going to sit next to me. And I'm against the window. And I'm like, thankfully, I had, you know, the window bay kind of went out and I could lean in like this. Anyway, it was fun. I started chatting to him, you know, yakking away, yak. And because, you know, I enjoy people, especially people of other cultures, and chatting to them. So we had a great talk. And towards the end, I said, so what's your name? And he comes from Cameroon, which is French. And so he lived in Paris for quite a few years. I think he moved there when he was only about 11 or 12 or something like that. So he knew, you know. And his name was Yves. You know, like an Yves Saint Laurent, is it perfume? Sorry? Fashion, yeah, it's some. And his name was Yves. I said, what does it mean? He said, I don't know. And I thought, okay, because I like names. I personally believe that names speak something about what God's put in people, irrelevant of the name. And so I said to him, I said, well, what's your name? Yves, and he said, oh, okay. So out with the phone, put the name, what does it mean? Because I want to know what it means. And I said to him before, I'm going to look up the meaning of your name. And I'm going to tell you from the meaning of your name what God, how God sees you and what God's put in your life. I didn't even know what it meant yet. So I stuck my head and said, I'm going to tell you what God says about you. So I looked it up and I was so excited when I read it. Eves means yew tree. Who knows what a yew tree is? You know what a yew tree is? Apparently quite a big tree. Big, solid, and I was reading the description, I thought, oh, I like this. Because there's this big, muscly boy next to me. I thought, well, that fits physically. It's a big, solid tree with kind of very rugged kind of trunk to it. I thought, oh, this is good. And it had another meaning too, like archer. So I said to him, oh, really, yeah, this is how God sees you. He sees you as a man who doesn't bend. And all the things that come against people and come against your family and all this kind of, you're someone who stands strong, stands tall, and you're rugged and you're tough, and those things are not going to break you. Because that's what a tree's like. Anything comes and goes, the tree still stands. So that's what God's put in you. The second thing that God's put is you're an archer. Now, archers are an interesting group of people. They are, in those days, they were the ones that try and took out the enemy long before they came close. That's what their job was. I said the downside of being an archer is you're also the first people that the enemy wants to take out, because they don't want you taking them out miles away. But I said that's who you are. I said, so when in your family and things like that, when things are coming against you, God's going to give you the ability to stop and see that stuff and deal with it before it comes and hits your family or comes against you. So I prophesied that over him. He liked it. And then he said, oh, well, I go to such and such a church. I said, seriously? Didn't know. Didn't have a clue he was a Christian. So anyway, that was fun. I don't know why I told you that story. Light. I didn't say anything about light. Yeah, carrying the light. Okay. Yes, I think that's the next thing on my list. Flick over the page. All right. It was. I've put it in there. It's testimony, okay? How do we do that? And just going back again to what Peter says, just simple acts of love done by us for other people. It's not the size of the deed, it's the size of the light that's in us that has effect. Simple acts of love. Heidi Baker constantly says, look, it's not complicated. Love the one who's in front of you. You see, the Spirit of God in us is love. And so we love the one and just do whatever. Each of us has something that we can offer another person. Every single one of us. Oh, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. There is something that you enjoy doing. There's something that you love doing. Use that. Give it to someone else. Don't think, oh, I'm not like Jill. I don't get prophetic words and stuff like that. I'm not like him. See, I have, personally, this is my thing. I don't know why I've got it. I have great faith in being able to prophesy over a person's name. I'm really confident. I don't know why. I have no idea why. It's obviously something from God. I didn't work it out, but I just have great confidence for that. Other things, keep me away from that. But I'm very confident about that. We're all different. We all have strengths and abilities. The gifts that God has put in us and the things we love doing and the things we're able to do, that's what God wants you and I to use to bless other people. And so we go and we just, like making a cake. Simple thing. Maybe you're a bit shy and you've had this neighbor who you've never spoken to for years. I think, okay, I'll go out and I say good morning to him or her. So you take it in your hand, you get out there and you say, oh, good morning. But you've shown an act of love. You've actually acknowledged someone. It's that simple, because there's a light in us. So long as we're doing it with a hunger, with a willingness to serve God, we say, Lord, I want to bless someone. I want to be the vessel. I want you to work through me. I don't know what energy is. Just say hello. Hello, what's your number? Okay, good morning. We don't know what effect that's going to have. The person might look at us and you're thinking, oh, he thought I was an idiot. But maybe you've just taken that person by surprise. Oh, my gosh, she spoke to me. Oh, okay. I go to their car and they're thinking, that person's never spoken to me before in my life. That's amazing. I feel good. That was nice. I really like that. I like that she spoke to me. I've just had this argument with one of my kids and so I come out, someone says, good morning. You don't know what's gone on before or afterwards. But God does. And any act of kindness, he will bless. Done with his power. Done because you want to serve. Because you say, Lord, I want to love people, because that's the first commandment we're told to do. He can do amazing things through it. Going back to the service 4 or 5 times ago, that was the thing that came out. Remember all these testimonies. Every single one was simply a simple act of showing some sort of kindness or love, even if it was a supernatural deed. It wasn't major. It was an act of love. And all these stories are coming. And this is what happened. This is what happened. This is why I want to encourage us now to take that prophetic word to heart, because God now, I believe for us as a group, is going to bless those simple acts of love and kindness in ways we never dreamed. I just think that's how it works. So keep those prophetic words before us and be encouraged by them. Let them lift us up. He just wants our willingness to do it. Paul talks in Romans. He says, put on the Lord Jesus and put off the works of darkness. It's all we've got to do. Put them off. If there's a, you know, we get transferred over here. This is our home. This is where we live. We live in the light. But sometimes there's kind of things that we hang on to or we refer back to. We're given access to that because it's a domain. It's a dominion. It's a power. There's an authority in that stuff. You know, it says it's the power of darkness. The word means having an authority, like a policeman can stand up in front of the traffic and say, look, stop, and you stop. Hopefully. You're an idiot if you don't, but he's not. But he can't physically stop you. You know, if you just keep going, you'd kill him. But he can bite because of the authority. There is an authority. There is a power in the darkness. But it has no authority over us because we carry a brighter light. But sometimes we can get hooked on it. So we put those things off. I'm not going to carry that stuff in my life. There's darkness affecting me. Right, get rid of it. Chuck it off. Don't want it. And I'll put on the Lord Jesus. It's like, put him on like a coat. Remember that Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 3 says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Who is the glory of the Lord? Jesus. Put Jesus on. Isn't that a funny phrase? Put on the Lord Jesus. And I'll just go to my wardrobe and take out my Lord Jesus coat and put it on. I guess that's what it means. Put him on. Consciously make the decision to put him on. Every day. Every day. I'll just throw that in there. All right. Can someone grab me the banner down the back there for me and bring it up? Let's get through this real simple. We'll try and get through quick because we're running out of time. Yep, thanks. I'll wrap this up. So what with all of this? these are our aims of our church. I have a look. Lovely, we'll chuck it over there. Is that going to be right there? Yeah. Yeah, we don't need that. So how do we do this? Real simple. There's only three things we have to worry about. This one here, look on the face of Christ, what Simon was telling us about. This is not an option for us. If we want to do this and this effectively with power, we can't sidestep this. He is the light of the world. We have to spend time with him and in him. This is non-optional. If we're not doing this, we're never going to see fruit from this. Well, we might, because God will often use us for that person's sake. But we don't get any blessing out of it. This is not an option. This has to be our very first priority every single day. Every day. 5 minutes, folks, is not enough. Sorry, it's just not enough. It is not enough. 5 minutes a day, just a quick prayer to the Lord, half a scripture, fine, yeah, that's my bit for the day. No, it's not. Not enough. We have to learn to spend time. That's why I'm very hot on worship. That's why I'm very strong on spending 30 minutes every time we come to worship, to spend time focusing on him. That's the whole point. Our eyes and our hearts and our spirits lifted up to focus on Jesus and nothing else. And then the songs, and then we get on to the ministry and the word. Non-optional. In fact, they're all non-optional, to be quite honest. But this is where it starts. This is where it starts. We must do this. Must do, must do, must do. Right? Love everyone we meet. Oh, man. But it's not, as Kylie said, not complicated. Just love the person. Obviously, appropriately. You know, if you just met someone, you know, oh, hi, this is Jim. Oh, Jim, how lovely to see you. Let me give you a big hug. You know, it's got to be appropriate, obviously. But when you meet someone, you see someone, you say, Lord, put this in your mind, and this is what I do. Not every time, I wish I did, but this is what I do. I say, Lord, help me to see this person as you love them, as you see them, and help me to love them. And just look at me and say, look, lovely to meet you. Real pleasure to meet you. Even if it's someone you don't like, just find, say, Lord, I've got to love this person. Show me what to do. It will be simple. It's not complicated, but this is what we have to learn to do. Yes, and the blessing of God, because he's promised it in his word. Live like heaven is near. You know, heaven is at hand. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We can grab heaven. This is how we're supposed to live, because we're in this kingdom. When Jesus walked the earth, this kingdom came with him. Not that one, this one. Everywhere he went, this kingdom, its power, its glory, all the stuff that kingdom has went with him. It goes with us. Everywhere we go, we take heaven with us. Amen. Please hear that. So live. I don't like near. Just live like it's here, not ear, but just extend out a bit. Live like it's here, because it is. Carry heaven with us everywhere we go. Because the only thing that counts, let me say this. Faith is required for this. Yes? We trust. It's faith. It's the whole point. Trusting in the Lord. Trusting him. We come in prayer and seek his face because we believe. It's like sitting in the chair. I'm sitting in the chair because I believe it's going to hold me up off the floor. You know, that's faith. That's trust. Same. I come to Jesus because I believe he loves me passionately. He loves me desperately. He loved me so much he gave his life for me. Wow. So I come to him and say, Lord, here I am. He said, oh, yeah, come on, let's have it. Simple faith. It takes faith to do this too. That God's love is big enough. Faith that I'm not going to get killed if I say something to someone. Faith that I'm not going to shrink away into a little, you know, be terrified. Faith, just simple. And it takes faith to do this, to operate in this. But here's the clincher. Paul said, the only thing that counts is faith operating through love. Love is the highway on which all the stuff operates on. Flows in. Without love, we just clanging cymbal. It's all a waste of time. Faith. We need faith to do this. So let's now, in the days ahead, remember the passage. I've got them on my phone. I love my phone. I just love it. I can just call on my notes thing and I can call up. I've got Isaiah 43, Deuteronomy 8, 7 to 16. Was it that word that you got? She can't remember. She's the one that posted it. Anyway, it's written on my thing. And I've got that song that we sang, this song. Let me try. We'll bring this to finish it off. Hear the word roaring as thunder with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over. There is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies, heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God. Every seed buried in sorrow you will call forth in its time. You are Lord, Lord of the harvest, calling our help now to arise. Read that song every second or third day. On the other days, read the other prophetic words. I'm sorry, seriously, this is what I'm trying to do now in my prayer times. I don't want to forget what God has said. Now is the time for us. Well, it doesn't matter what you can or can't see. Don't look at what God's not doing. This is what he's saying. Do something. Let's do something about it. With me? Who's with me? Yes. Good, good, good. Praise the Lord. So pray. Seek his face. Hear the word. Love. Look, love, live. Be intentional. Love that little phrase. Be intentional. Don't just, oh, well, shall I? Be intentional. Do it with intention. Don't think, oh, well, I'll just sort of give it a go and see. Oh, no. Oh, look at this. Be intentional. God loves people who will just take him at his word and let's go and do this stuff. And let's be amazed at what he's going to do. There's a whole world that lives in darkness. All around us there's people living in a darkness that Jesus does not want them to live in. And he says to you and I, come on, let's do this. Let's do this. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Stand in the mirror and say, I'm the light of the world because Jesus lives in me. And he so told me that I am. Might be a bit strange for us to say that, but I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let's arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is over us. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome.